All right, if you turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, continue our study through the book of 1 Thessalonians. This week we find ourselves in verses 5 through 8, and we're going to see a message of faith. Last week, of course, we saw a message of charity, which was Paul's message which he sent with Timothy to the Thessalonians. This week we see the return message that comes back from the Thessalonians to Paul being a message of faith. Now, next week we're going to read and study through the last few verses in this chapter. Who can guess what that message is going to be? A message of hope. Exactly. That's what we're going to find out next week. But right now, looking at their return message, because Paul was anxious as he started out in verse 1. Last week he says when he could no longer forbear, he sent them to Timotheus, and this week he says the same thing in verse 5, when I could no longer forbear. He was anxious to hear word back from them, and we're going to find that, of course, he was not disappointed. Somebody wanting to hear from a loved one, somebody they've invested in, isn't anything new. And it says in Proverbs 25:13, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. And this is definitely what is going to happen when we see Paul get back this message of faith from the Thessalonians. We're going to see it in three parts as we go through these four verses, 5 through 8. We're going to see the temptation of faith, the tidings of faith, and the triumph of faith. Let's start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get straight into what it is that the Lord wants to show us today from His Word. Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the privilege we have of coming together. I thank you for the ability to openly preach, teach, study your Word as we have, and I thank you, of course, for today, as is recognized across the world, making that ultimate sacrifice for us on the cross. I pray, Lord, that our eyes would be open to the truth of your word today, that we would see and have the faith necessary to be able to understand and accept your truth as our final authority and to apply it to our lives as such. I pray that every single person here today would be edified and encouraged because of what your word is going to show us today, and that your name would be glorified and honored through this time as well. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Like I said, Paul repeats not only the reason he sent Timothy there for their sakes, but was also for his own sake as well, because he was anxious to hear back from them, because there's a great danger that happens when somebody has received the truth of the word, they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they've begun to grow. The devil isn't just going to sit back and say, well, that's okay, I'll just let this happen. He's going to be very actively opposing what's going to take place, and he's going to be trying to tempt and try the faith of those who have received the truth. Paul says in verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor be in vain. We have to understand that when Paul is focusing in directly on faith, it's because of the reality of the battle, which he was talking about last week. We saw last week in the message of charity, is he loved them and told them that in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the suffering, what did they need to do? They needed to stand fast and soldier up. They needed to understand this was a reality in the battle, and being a part of the battle, faith is of huge importance, because faith is the defense that we have against those attacks from the enemy. We know, of course, from Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks and lays out the entire armor of God, that you get down to one specific piece of this armor, which he says is more important than anything else. In verse 16, he says, above all, every single piece of this armor is important. Every single one we need every single day. But there's one that's more important than anything else. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. the way in which we sustain ourselves in the midst of the attack from the enemy is our faith. If your faith is small, you have a very small shield. Your faith is huge, you have a huge shield. Well, what do you want when you're going into battle and all the fiery darts are coming towards you? You want a big shield. You want a lot of faith. And that's, of course, what Paul, as the spiritual father who led these people to Christ, who was invested in their lives, he wants this for them as well. And he understands how important that faith is. That's why he wanted to know, hey, how's your faith doing? Basically, how big is your shield? I had to know. I sent Timothy to go in and find out. Timothy himself, over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 12, we have the famous charge which he gives to Timothy, fight the good fight of what? Faith. The good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. This is a reality in the battle that we face. And therefore, Paul wants to know, how's their faith doing? Do you know why? Because he knows, here's the thing. The enemy knows if you have a huge shield, he can't penetrate in. So therefore, what is the enemy going to try to do? He's going to try to take away your shield. This shows that Paul is trying to get them to understand, you know what? Your faith is going to become the target. Because if he can take away your faith, it leaves you without any protection. Those fiery darts are going to go straight in. And that's why he said back over in the passage, he says, you know what? Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So I wanted to know, how's your faith doing? Where's it standing? Because the enemy's attack is going to be directed directly at your faith. Faith removed, he has a huge means by which he can come in and take you out. You can look over at 1 Timothy again, where Paul told him, obviously we just saw, to fight the good fight of faith. And time again, throughout this one epistle, he lays out the reality that, guess what? That is the target of the enemy. In chapter 4 and verse 1 of 1 Timothy, he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. When the doctrines don't line out with the truth of the Word of God, he has destroyed your faith. And therefore, in doing so, he has taken away your shield and you are ripe for the plucking. You go back over to chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verses 19 and 20, he gives Timothy a charge. He says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Hey, the attack of the enemy is to take away their faith so that you can be shipwrecked, so that you're no longer following the plan of God for your life and growing as you should. Also over in chapter 6, Paul finishes out the whole epistle to Timothy in verse 20 and 21 here. O Timothy, keep that which was committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. The reality is that the enemy knows how important your faith is. And so that's exactly what he wants to destroy. So when Paul sends this in, he's wanting to know, hey, how's your faith doing? Because if the enemy can take away that, if he can keep you from maintaining your faith, then he knows that, you know what, he can't take away your salvation, but there'll be eternal loss that you will suffer if you allow the enemy to remove your faith. Over in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 18 and 19, verses 18 and 19, Paul says, let no man beguile you of your reward. You know what? You can earn a reward. A reward has to be earned. But you can earn it, and then it can be taken away from you. You could lose that reward. He says, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. There is a reward that you can earn. But once earned, you can lose it. It can be taken away. He says, don't let anybody beguile you of your reward. The way the enemy is going to do that is to, again, attack your faith. Take away your faith. You're open up for him to destroy what God is doing in your life. And you can lose even that which you have earned. Look with me over in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, Paul, with all the love of Christ in his heart for these Galatians, says something which most people would not associate with love. But Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? You know what happens when you don't, you've lost your faith? Your faith comes from the truth of the word. And so if you've lost your faith, you're not going to be obeying the truth anymore. He says, who's bewitched you? Who is it that has taken away your faith? And so now you're not obeying the truth. He says, before whose eyes Christ, Jesus Christ, hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Do you remember, what is the requirement to be able to reign with Christ? You have to suffer. But you know what? You can suffer, but then it could be in vain if your reward is taken away. Because you lost your faith and allowed the enemy to come in and clean you out. Paul says, you know what? Don't lose your reward. Because this is a reality that doesn't go away for all of eternity. And when Paul says, going back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, he says, you know what? I needed to know your faith. I needed to know how was your shield doing. Because I was concerned that maybe the tempter might have tempted you in the middle of this battle that you're going to have to stand fast in, that you're going to have to stand firm. But he knows if they don't have a shield, they're not going to do that. He says, you know what? Because if he's tempted you and you've succumbed to that temptation, you've allowed him to take away your faith, he says that our labor be in vain. And we've talked about this before, that your labor would be in vain. But this is a legitimate fear that Paul has because it happens all the time. The Christians every day, they allow the enemy to come in and take away their faith in the surety of the word of God that they have received, and therefore labor will have been bestowed on in vain. Look, going back over to Galatians chapter 4. We've seen this cross-reference before. In verse 11, Paul says, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Again, he's not talking about their salvation. He's talking about Christians who have been, he has invested the word of God into their life. But if they are not living by faith anymore, if they are not standing in by faith, then they're going to lose something. And what Paul had invested in them was in vain. Look at the way Paul says it over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 2 and 3, he says, For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And what are the next three words? Anybody there? But I fear. I fear. Paul has a fear that what? Lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know what? He has a fear that they're going to be beguiled of their reward. And if that takes place, if they have lost their faith in the truth of the word and are beguiled of their reward, then his investment in them was in vain. And this is a legitimate, again, a legitimate fear when Paul says this. And it's not just the fear that Paul should have or somebody who's investing in somebody else should have. This is the reality that each and every one of us has to understand that awaits us if we are not standing by faith. You look over at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 19. Paul talking about the comparison because of the fact that Israel have been put aside or set aside temporarily in this dispensation. He says, "Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith." You stand by faith, Paul says. Be not high-minded, but what? Fear. Fear. Again, this is the Word of God telling us, look, you know what? You see the example of Israel? Don't get cocky. Don't get an arrogant attitude. You know what? You need to look at their example and fear and understand the reality. You're standing by faith, but look what he says. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore the goodness and the severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. You know, when, again, can we lose our salvation? Absolutely not. But do you understand? Paul very clearly is saying, you know what? You're standing by faith, but you better fear not the enemy. You better fear God, because when he says, you know what? On them fell severity. That same severity could fall on you. That same severity. Not losing your salvation, but there can be a cutting off if you don't stand by faith. Paul says, this is the reality of your relationship with God right now. And Paul's wanting to know, you guys are in the midst of battle. I'm waiting to hear the message. I gotta know, how's your faith? Because I know what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to get you to not stand by faith. He's trying to take away your reward, and he's trying to make my investment in vain. So here we go back over to 1 Thessalonians, and praise God, because Paul got some great tidings. He got the tidings of faith coming back through Timothy that they were standing. Look what he says in verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, "But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye had good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you." He says, you know what? You guys, I got great news. When Timothy came back and he told us how you were doing, it was the best thing I could have possibly heard. Those were good, good tidings. You know, in this generation, we haven't lived through too many wars here in the States. But you do remember, of course, at least I do, when the Gulf War hit. And, I mean, how many people became a news junkie? I mean, you just any news, anything that was coming out, you were just wanting to know, wanting to hear. How was it going? How was the battle? What was taking place? You wanted to hear how things were going on. That's a natural reaction to the reality of war. Well, Paul is understanding spiritually, you know what, these guys are in warfare, as they were as well. But he wanted to know, hey, how are you guys doing? And he got this news back, how the battle was going. This is even more important for the spiritual warfare that we are in. Those that, if you've invested in somebody, if you have somebody who you love, you know what? You need to understand every single one of us, them and you and us, are in a spiritual warfare. You need to know, like Paul had this attitude, you know what? I just got to know, how's your faith? And it was so good for him to be able to hear, hey, I got good tidings. I got good tidings from this faithful messenger who told me, you know what? They're walking in faith. The faith is real. The charity is real. The relationship with God. And look, what Paul's desire wasn't just this for the Thessalonians. You could see it also over in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Paul giving them a charge. He says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye what?